belonged somewhere. Catherine carefully extracted 4 photographs. She closed the album and asked me to leave. But I had more questions about my birth mother. My foster mother flew into a rage and slammed the album on the floor. She phoned my social worker and demanded he take me away. I ran away from Oaklands at night. I walked the East Lancs Road to Moss Side in Manchester, nearly 14 miles. I sat inside the doorway of a record shop a little further up from the Reno nightclub. It was 2 a.m. and I watched people talking, walking, laughing. Beautiful, dark faces. But I looked quite threatening, bedraggled, wild-eyed, fearful. I arrived back at Oaklands at daybreak to the police. On 21st of June 1984, Norman Mills reported,
"A case conference was held this afternoon at which the decision was taken to move Norman to Woodend for a period of assessment."
I was taken immediately. Norman Mills drove me through Lowton, Lee and Atherton, through the gates of Woodend Assessment Centre. We were both silent. He didn't want me in here. I had been in care of Wigan Social Services for 17 years. The idea that they wanted to assess me now was a joke. This wasn't assessment. This was imprisonment. There was a smirk on the officer's face.
"Welcome to Woodend, young man. We do things differently here."
I was marched to a utility room. An overweight man with a thick bunch of keys slapped down some regulation clothes. I was marched to the sports hall and sat at a table. The food came in one tray with bowls moulded into it. Woodend was deathly silent. I was being reprogrammed. "You have 1 hour a day for recreation," the man said. He opened the door into a plain room with chairs lined against the walls where boys were sitting. They barely looked up. "Unlock. Lock." I was taken deeper inside. There were 2 sorts of child inmates. Young people on remand, awaiting court appearance, and young people in care. It was a technical difference because we were all treated like charged criminals. I was under surveillance 24 hours a day. I was marched along the corridors in size order with the others, in silence. Anyone who stepped out of line was beaten. There was no outside now. This was a lock-up. Reprogramming meant I had to have a psychological test to determine whether I would be put into labour or education. Nothing in the assessment centre had any validity in my eyes, including the staff. But I had to be careful to avoid a beating. How to comply and yet not comply? The test asked questions such as, "Are you a tree in a forest or a tree on a hill?" I replied, "I am a poet tree." The hierarchy were displeased and brought in a school psychologist to assess me.
"Thank you for asking me to see this young man. As you know, Lem completed most of the tests in a non-serious way. He also rejected the idea of completing an individual intelligence test for me. I think he was casting doubt on the validity of the tests, and although not a point of view that I personally subscribe to, it is certainly not unreasonable for an intelligent person to adopt. When he was asked to write about himself, he decided to write a poem to, as he says, capture a piece of emotion. It is as follows."
They told me this was me, my family, my home, but I still ended up alone. Once again, I packed my smaller suitcase, another loss of trust on a wild goose chase. Like a knot in a shoelace, they thought they did it best, but the more they pulled, the harder the case, and who ended up with less? And now, through the jungle of paper, theory and pen, I just only find out my name is Lem, and I've been cheated, beated, pushed and hit Now my name is Lem, and the fire's been lit. Now, after I learned, they say I must learn. Throw water on the fire, and the fire still burns.
The spirit of Bob Marley lives on. I applaud Lem's courage. He's better off making his own mistakes, given some degree of support, than having decisions made on his behalf.
The authority were not happy with this letter from the educational psychologist, and a few days later, they made their own report.
Wigan Social Services Department Assessment Centre. Cisse treated the testing procedure with complete and utter contempt. The reliability of his overall score is thus questionable.
The dormitories were locked at night. Because of the red night light in our rooms, we couldn't see out of the meshed glass slit in the dormitory door, but the night watchman could see in. I try to keep sane. I try not to get my head smashed in by the officers. The men. I grew my dreadlocks. I twisted my afro hair each night. I write poems every day in recreation hour. They chart the journey. In my writing, there are no limits, no boundaries to the imagination. There's a freedom. My hair rises into a knotted mass of twisted spikes, and then the locks drop into a crown of dread. Dreadlocks. The psychologist I saw had found information on the National Association of Young People in Care, NAPIC. I wrote a pleading letter to a determined, quietly spoken woman called Margaret Parr. She worked with NAPIC and set up an affiliated organisation called Black and In Care. She came all the way from Manchester to visit me. Visitor protocol? The sports hall was lined with tables. The staff stood at the front, the sides and the back of the room. We boys were marched in and placed by our seats. Margaret Parr looked at me before sitting. She was the first outside person who could see the shit I was in. I was an experiment that hadn't worked. She believed me straight away. There are many of us, she said, all around the country. Black kids, fostered or adopted, then thrown back into the care system when we reach 12 or so. She had been in care too. This isn't right, I said. They say I'm here because they're waiting to put me in a flat, but it's been ages, and this is a prison. Margaret could see what it was. Don't let them drug you, she whispered. I had a plan all along. The system at Wood End, run by the men, was based on privileges. I gained privileges for good behaviour. Privileges meant I could work unsupervised, digging the gardens of the staff homes. So I ran. I ran away to the housing office of Atherton Town Hall. I approached reception. Hi, can I see the housing officer? It's urgent. What's your name? Peter. I saw a leaflet on the board for Royal Bank of Scotland. Peter Banks. I hated that lie. Eventually I was ushered from the waiting room. My name is Lem Cisse, it's not Peter Banks, and I need to tell you, I am in Wood End, and they're saying that they're waiting to find me accommodation, but I shouldn't be there, and I have no family, and it's a prison. My social worker will tell you everything. Will you talk to him? He listened attentively and told me that he'd do his best. I was trying to kickstart the system. Back then, nobody told me that it worked. But it's here. In my files. On 19th of October 1984, my social worker writes in the report.
Norman has approached Atherton Housing Departments for a council tenancy and has made a favourable impression, it appears. When I spoke to Mr. Wilson at the department, he confirmed that Norman could be offered a tenancy.
By mid-December, I was in my flat, My first home. I was 17 and a half. I lived on the newest housing development in Atherton. It was called Poets' Corner. My one-bedroom flat was 21 Cowper Avenue. The streets that surrounded mine were Blake Avenue, Chaucer Grove, Keats Close. Somebody left a gift for me outside the flat. I don't know who. It was a thing of beauty to me. A black Olivetti typewriter with a waterfall of ebony finger pads, each ingrained with one mother-of-pearl letter.
Lem Sisse was reading from his memoir My Name is Why. Letters and reports from his files were read by Sean Baker, Susan Jameson, Sean Mason, Catherine Press, Nahel Tsegai and Greg Jones. The abridger was Julian Wilkinson and the producer was Elizabeth Allard.
time. Take your pants off home. It looks much better time. My feet keep going. Girl, blowing my mind. Thinking of losing that funky feeling, don't. Cause you got to use what you got to get just what you want. Hey, hot pants. Hey, hot pants. Smoking. Hot pants make you sure to sell. Good God, you won't crack. You got the only love left. Hey, so brother, if you're thinking of losing that feeling, then don't. Cause a woman got to use what she got. Don't get as much you want. Hey! Hey! Hot pants! Now look, hot pants won't make you dance, but as slick as you are, you make the dance. Hey, bro. Do you like it? The girl over there with funky pants on. She can do the chicken all night long. The girl over there with the hot pants on. She can do the funky Broadway all night long. The girl over there with the hot pants on. Filthy Mac danced all night long. Get down. The one over there with the belly dress. I ain't got time. I still dig that dress. Get down. But I like hot pants. Hey, I like hot pants.
Thank you. the corner, suitcase in my hand. Jackson's corset and chains in a vest, baby. Me, I'm in a rock and roll band. Riding a suspect, those were different times. Forward study blues a verse, the ladies roll their eyes. Sweet Jane, Sweet Jane. Now Jackie is a banker, and Jane, she is a clerk. And say to money's honeys, I when they come home from work. Sitting there by the fire, radio does play little classical music, the march of the wooden soldiers. You could hear Texas's Jane, and that baby Sweet Jane. Go out dancing. Then there's other people, baby, they gotta work. You better watch me now. There's some evil mothers, they'll just tell you that life's just made out of dirt. They're pretty women, baby, they never really faint, and villains always blink their eyes. Their children are the only ones who blush. And that life, life! And life is just to die, but I want to tell you something. Anyone who had a heart, they wouldn't turn around and break it. And anyone who's ever played a part, they wouldn't turn around and hate it. They say, Jane, Sweet Jane, oh, Jane. Jane.
viski. En sağır kulaklara sevdalar fısıldardı. Sabah serinliği taşırdı ezgilerimiz. Sabah serinliği taşırdı ezgilerimiz. Kapılar çaldığımda kuşlarımıza kefenleri kana bulayıp kollarına saldık rüzgarı. Ölüm çaresiz kalıp çığlıklar attı arkamızda.
Bu kadar umutlu, bu kadar namuslu taşımak için tereddüt etmedik, eğilmedik. Kanımızla yazılacaktı umudun şiiri. Adını koymuştuk özgürlüğün. Bir kez çıkmıştı ağzımızdan söz. Ve biz dimi çekilmiş yürekle dalmıştık karanlığın ortasına. Mataramıza ağabı hayat. Dilimize kurtuluş türküleri. Mataramıza ağabı hayat. Ve düşerken özgürlük renginde bir gülüş vardı yanağımızda.
Dilimize kurtuluş türküleri. Mataramıza ağabı hayat. Dilimize kurtuluş türküleri. Mataramıza ağabı hayat.
having fun.
I wish that I could find better words today to tell you I'm sorry. You shouldn't have to read this because I already made you suffer too much. But I know that you and Fergus are living in a better world without all my chaos. I'm sorry for all the things I destroyed. You are so beautiful. The most beautiful in the world. And I only ever made this world ugly. Fergus needs things to be simpler. I know how embarrassed he is about me. I could not be the man that you both need. I've tried and tried and tried for 20 years and everything I try is another disaster. I love you. I love Fergus more than anything. But I'm finished, Gil. I'm sorry. Love you both. I want to see you both smile again. Danny boy.
Sat on a chair outside the door of a corridor, a blue door, locked door. I'm trying not to be noticed. Here comes a face, I know that face. It smiles at me. And silent and silent and silent.
Up in the marine fire, the metal in the everyone, a business, and the one giant metal, speaking in a tongue.